time to join our American family Robinson again. You remember Editor Luke was plotting with Miss Timmons to get her property away from Windy Bill, who has hired a bodyguard to protect himself from Luke. Today we find Miss Timmons, who is staying out of sight at the Robinson house, and Luke holding a conference over the breakfast table.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Robinson, whether this thing is going to work out or not. Don't hardly sound like a likely story to me. I'm certain I wouldn't believe it.
Oh, now, don't back out on me at this point. Of course he'll believe it.
He's got to believe it, Miss Timmons. It's practically our only chance. Oh, I do hope you're a good enough actress to put it over.
Good enough? Huh? Acting is second nature to me. Could have had a career like as not if I'd have wanted to. Why, once I even played Shakespeare for the church sociable. Lady Macbeth I was. And everybody said the affair made their blood run cold just to see me. In my big scene, I had them rising right out of their seats. All dressed in black I was. Sort of floating stuff. And my hair all down my back. And my eyes a-staring straight ahead like this.
Gracious.
I come walking right down to the footlights. Slow, like I was walking in my sleep. Holding a taper in my hand. This fork's the taper. And I says in a kind of hollow voice, "Out," I says. "Out, doggone spot."
Doggone spot, Miss Timmons?
Well, yes. You see, we was given it in a church, and the way Mr. Shakespeare wrote it didn't hardly seem appropriate, so we had to sort of censor it a little.
Oh, I see. Go on.
"Out," I say. And then there was something else between, and then I says, "All the perfumes of Araby will not sweeten this little hand." Oh.
Oh! Oh, oh, Miss Timmons, whatever is the matter?
Why, nothing. That's in the play.
Oh.
There, you see? Ain't I an actress? I had her fooled.
You certainly are. I shan't get over it for the rest of the day.
Well, that's fine, Miss Timmons. But in this role you're going to play for Windy, I wouldn't take it quite so big. A little restraint, maybe.
Hmm? Oh, well, when I get to acting, I just have to give my all. But I'll try to tone it down a bit if you think I ought to.
Well, just be natural. You'll be all right. Suppose we rehearse it a little. Now, I'll be Windy Bill. Now, why, Miss Timmons, fancy seeing you here.
Oh, Mr. Winkle, Bill, I just had to come right over to thank you. Oh, it's no use, Mr. Robinson. I just couldn't look that reprobate in the face and be that nice to him.
Oh, now, come, Miss Timmons, try. I'll tell you what. You come along with me to the office. I'll coach you on the way.
All right. But I have my doubts.
Oh, nonsense, Miss Timmons. You'll be fine. And when it's all over, I'll get Bill over here, and you can tell him just what you think of him, right to his face, and I'll help you.
Well, under those circumstances, I guess I can do it.
That's fine. Well, goodbye, dear, and let me know what happens as soon as Miss Timmons gets back.
Goodbye, and good luck, Miss Timmons.
Funny. Town looks just the same as it did before I went traveling.
Oh, you were only gone 2 days.
Seemed like 2 years. Oh, the trouble I had with that darned house car. You know, Mr. Robinson, what I don't understand about this whole mess is why you're taking so much bother over it. Of course, it's nice of you to take such an interest in my affairs.
Well, it's not just that, Miss Timmons. It's helping a new business to get started without any handicaps that I'm fighting for. Of course, this is only one small factory out of our vast industrial system, but it means permanent social security through employment for a couple of hundred people. And that's worth all the fighting I'm capable of.
Yeah, a couple of hundred ain't so many out of a couple of million people who need security, though.
I know, but it takes time, you know, to bring about a lasting security based on a secure foundation of industrial progress for a whole nation.
Why, my goodness, Mr. Robinson, don't you read your own paper? I read in the Herald all about how someone said the United States is 50 years behind some of them European countries that have passed laws to make everybody socially secure. And that we ought to reform and pass a law like that right away.
I don't suppose you bothered to read my comment on it.
Well, to tell you the truth, I was helping Grammar Peabody make jelly while I was reading, and just at that point, I smelled something burning.
Never mind. I ought to be glad you read the paper at all. I said that story reminded me of the mother who tried to get her daughter to eat spinach by saying to her, "There are thousands of little girls would like to have your spinach." And the little girl replied, "Name me just one."
Hmm. Is that a joke?
Let it go. But I'll explain it more simply. It's true that some European countries do have social security laws. But you can't name one whose system works better than the one we have right here in America. Here, workmen for 150 years have enjoyed security of wages and working conditions that enable them to provide for themselves and their families. In Europe, the average wage has been so low that bare necessities had to suffice for the workers, with none of our American conveniences.
But if we added social security laws to our high wages, wouldn't that be even better?
No, but you can't get security just by passing a law. You have to provide money for it. And there's only one place that money can come from. Payroll taxes, which means lower wages.
I don't seem to be no way out of it.
Just one way. Build industry up to the point where it can provide job security for everyone, along with our high living standards.
You mean I'll be helping to do all that if I can make that Bill Winkle believe all that stuff you told me?
Exactly.
Then I'll do it if it chokes me.
That a girl.
Oh, here he comes. Here, quick, in this doorway.
Bill Winkle?
Yes, yes. I'm sure they didn't see us. Now listen. He's coming down this side of the street. Now, you walk slowly along to meet him before he gets where he can see me. Tell him exactly what I've told you. Now, have you got it straight?
I think so.
Well, now, remember, be cordial. Be effusive.
Now, I tell you, Gus, I don't like this, going around in broad daylight, even with a bodyguard. We're liable to meet Luke anywhere along here.
Oh, what's the matter, boss? You got me, which ain't you?
Yes, I know, but suppose he sees me before you see him. He could fill me full of lead before you could even turn around. He's a dangerous man, Gus.
Well, if he did that, I'd just plug him. Then you'd be even, wouldn't you?
Well, I suppose so. But it wouldn't do me much good then.
Ah, quit worrying, boss. Look at me. Am I worried?
Well, why should you worry? Nobody's after you. Gus, hide me, quick. Get in front of me, quick.
Let go my arm. Gus. Let me get my gun. Where is he?
It isn't he, it's she. Don't let her see me.
She? That scrawny dame?
Yes, Miss Timmons. Oh, this is awful.
Ah, what's the matter, boss? You ain't hiding from a dame, are you?
You don't know this dame.
Listen. Quit trying to crawl up my back. Listen. I don't hire out as no bodyguard to protect no guys from no dames. Get that? I'm a gentleman, I hope.
Gosh, you don't understand why she's...
You? William?
Oh, it's too late. I'm a goner.
Take off your hat when a lady speaks to you, you lug.
Oh, Mr. Winkle, Bill, you're the very person I want to see.
Hello, Miss Timmons. This is quite a shock. Huh? Surprise.
Well, I guess you two want to talk, so I'll be scrambling.
No, Gus, don't go.
Oh,
don't
you
go.
Mustn't run away, Mr.
This is Gus. Mr. Olson, Miss Timmons.
How to do, Mr. Olson. I wondered who the handsome young man was. Bill, I do admire big blonde men.
I didn't expect you back in Centerville quite so soon, Letitia. Is anything wrong?
Wrong? Why, no. I hated to come back. I was having such fun.
Fun? Fun in the house car?
I want to tell you all about it. Couldn't we go into this drugstore and maybe get a cup of coffee, Bill?
Well, I'd love to, Letitia, but I'm really in an awful hurry.
You wasn't in a hurry a minute ago. I guess if a lady wants a cup of coffee, she can have it, can't she, Guy?
Yes, I guess so.
Come along, Mr. Olson. We'll make it a party. Now, you see, Mr. Olson, Bill traded me my house for his house car, but I never expected it to turn out like this.
Oh, it's coming now. I wonder if there's a back door.
Is that so? Hey, fella, 3 cups of coffee and plenty of cream or else.
Well, I had a little trouble with the car right at first, but I took it to a repair shop, and while I was there, a great big car come up. Oh, I declare it was a block long, and a man steps out. Awful dandified clothes he had on. And guess who it was?
But Scarlatti, he's always putting on front.
Oh, well, no butcher I ever knew had a car like that. No, this was the president of a great big automobile company. Well, he come over to the house car and looked it all over, and then he says it was just the kind of thing he'd been thinking of putting on the market.
He what?
Would you believe it? And he says, what'll you take for it? Well, I was thinking it over, and then he says, come, surely you'll sell for $30,000, see?
$30,000?
What do you know?
Well, I know you could have knocked me over with a feather. But then he says I had to give him the patent, too. So I come back to get that. You forgot to give me that patent, Bill, when we made our deal.
A thank goodness. I mean, of course, Letitia, our deal didn't include the patent rights. You see, that's my invention, and I could hardly...
Why, Bill Winkle, do you mean to sit there and tell me you're not going to transfer that patent to me?
But, Letitia, how could I? It's worth $30,000.
Oh, I might have known. My only chance to be independent, and me a poor lone woman. And if it hadn't been for me, that man would never have seen the house car.
Hey, wait a minute. What's all this about? I don't get it.
Well, it hasn't anything to do with you, Gus. You keep out of this.
You see, Mr. Olson, after all I did for him to treat me like this, oh, it's terrible to be a defenseless woman.
No, you ain't defenseless. Not while Gus Olson's around. And listen, you... Are you telling me what to keep out of and what not to keep out of?
Now, Gus, you don't understand about this. You're working for me, aren't you?
Was, you lug, was. When it comes to dames in distress, I puts all other considerations aside, especially small change. In them cases, I always think, supposing it was me own mother.
Oh, Mr. Olson, I knew the minute I saw you that you was brave and good. But I'm afraid you can't do anything with a hard-hearted man like Mr. Winkle. I guess I'll just have to go my lonely way, homeless, penniless, while he is rolling in the lap of luxury.
Don't you worry, little woman. I'll fix it. Winkle, I got a good mind to give you the whites right now.
Oh, no, Gus, I don't want a factory. Just the patent.
Now, listen, Gus. Let me explain this later.
You do your talking right now. As I get it, this lady give you her house.
Yes, but...
And you swap her this here house car for it. But you double-cross her by holding out this patent fixture.
It's not a fixture, Gus. It's a paper, sort of.
I don't care what it is. She wants it, and she's going to get it, see?
Couldn't we arbitrate this thing?
Do you talking in English?
I mean, couldn't we compromise?
No cracks, guy. This is no time to be funny.
Oh, good heavens. I mean, we can fix this up, Gus, old boy.
That's what we're doing right now. Come on. Where is it, this patent thing?
Well, it's in my safe deposit box. But I lost the key.
Oh, yeah? Well, listen, smart guy. I give you till this time tomorrow to find it. Either you bring that patent in here and hand it over to this lady, or you know what'll happen. Get it?
I get it. Letitia, I'm disappointed in you. I once entertained only the highest regard for you. In fact, I had hoped that you returned that feeling.
You made a mistake, Bill Winkle, when you thought you could put one over on Letitia Timmons. Come, Mr. Olson, may I have your arm? I don't feel safe walking down the street with that reptile around loose.
Gosh, don't leave me. Suppose Luke Robinson should find me.
Well, all I gotta say is I hope he don't miss. You'd ought to learn a lesson from this, Winkle. It don't pay to wake a racket on a dame. You're not a bad guy, but you get some wrong ideas. Early training, I suppose. When you see easy money you can take off a dame, just stop and think. Would I like somebody to do this to me mother or me sister? Think it over, Winkle. Come on, Miss Cummings.
Gus, I can never thank you enough.
Ah, that's nothing. I'd do it for anybody.
$30,000. Just like that. That fat head. That boob. Oh, there must be a way out of this. Let me think. Boy, bring me some ammonia.
Why, hello, Wendy.
Luke!
Haven't seen you in a long time.
Oh, don't. Don't.
Oh, go ahead and shoot. You might as well. Why, Wendy, what's the matter? Don't you feel so good?
The answer is no. Wendy is not feeling so good. Miss Timmons' bluff worked only too well as far as he's concerned. But she hasn't got her property back yet, although she has got a new champion in the soft-hearted Gus Olson. Join us on our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett, directed by Martha Atwell, and produced by the National Industrial Council.